Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Elder Errol.
Yes, good afternoon. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Good. Just heading home from a day's work.
Lovely. Hope your day has been good.
It's been good. It's been good. Thank you very much.
Lovely. Lovely. We're talking about single parenting but this afternoon. And by the way, thank you so much for, accepting our invitation here at AWR. Now, single parenting is quite a subject. I mean, parenting in itself is challenging enough with a partner. But it is secret that single parenting is on the rise, literally across the world. And the challenges that come with that are quite many. You know, you earn money. Take out the trash, feed the kids, drive everywhere, mow the lawn, pay the bills, help the school, fix the faucet, deal with lawyers, file taxes, handle discipline situations. You go to church, have fun. Demands are just intense, and the needs are also as intense. And the response from the local church, any local church, should also be intense. And so you're going to be helping us to understand this and address, among other things, the unique challenges of a single parenting, especially in the church. Now, before we get into that, you're dealing with a ministry that deals with that. Tell us more about the ministry.
Well, my wife and I, Paulette, and I have traditionally run marriage seminars around the world, from the United States to Europe to Dubai and various other countries like that. But over the last few years, we've been shifting our focus to be far more inclusive, simply because, you know, obviously when you look at marriage, it comes and it excludes other attributes that make up the family, such as singles and such as, single parenting. And it was emerging primarily because my wife, who is the last of nine children, was brought up by a single mother. Mm. My mother-in-law, I've, known her for 44 years. Mm-hmm. And obviously, since those years, I have watched as she had to wrestle to really grow, children on her own. Mm. And it really had a profound impact on me, and especially when I look at the families, and we shared this on Sabbath in my sermon, so it's no strange thing, where 70% of the family on Paulette's mother's side, in terms of the children, then the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, comprising 73 persons of the children, at least 70% of them are single parents. Mm-hmm. And we have observed the reality of that. And so it was important for us to begin to speak to that issue within the context of the church, primarily because many of the programs take care of a wide spread of needs, but little or nothing at all is seen or done relating to equipping, enabling, empowering, or helping single parents. And single parents is not just in the category of a mother with a child. It could be a father with a child. You've got single parenting within the context of married, where it's one of the partners taking care of the children, and the other person is physically present but absent. So it's a widespread of different definitions and categories that make up single parenting, not simply a mother with a child, which is typically the picture that we have. It's far more than that now.
Now, I do know that, nobody wants to, nobody plans, or maybe very, very few people plan to be single parents.
Exactly.
Yeah, on the majority, people want to have somebody that they can actually raise the children with, so that you can actually have somebody that you can walk with this life with in raising children, etc. Now, what would you say are some of the unique challenges, that single parents face and but literally on a daily basis? And how has the church typically come on board to try and address this?
I think oftentimes the challenge that single parents, across the spectrum of the definition of single parenting within the context of the church, have the benefit of their children being taken care of through the various programs of the church. but they themselves have very little possible development. And the challenges that they face, obviously, is the male-female role. They have to be both, and no one can effectively be both. And that is a real significant challenge. I think another major challenge is that they need to carve out an existence for their children, which comes at the consequence of always not being present. And if we understand attachment theory, which looks at the first 7 years of a child, which forms the basis of the blueprint of their strengths and their weaknesses, this is a crucial time where a single parent is wrestling the most. And so that is a major challenge because it then plays out in the next formative years when they start to hit the teenage years and they need support and they need help to be able to manage some of the complexities that come with their children. I think as well, trying to be the spiritual guardian, whilst at the very same time trying to keep a very I'm okay type of appearance because you don't want to stress your children, but there's no one to turn to talk about the challenges spiritually that they may be facing because they've got to focus exclusively on the well-being of their children, but it comes at a consequence of their own development, as an example, from what we've observed and what I have personally observed, obviously within my own family. And so these are just some of the things that are just not addressed within the context of the church. But it could be though.
Is the church not addressing this because it lacks the ability, the knowledge and skills to address it? Or is just because the church is just never dealt with it, and so they've just never thought to get into that space.
I think the latter. I think it's an area that at one time, let's say 30, 40 years ago, you would not have found the volume of single parenting that we see today. And I think it has exploded exponentially within the church. And I think the church is fundamentally caught therefore on the back foot. Because obviously our traditional approach, which is the right approach, is to enhance families, and we think of marriage. And so we have not really taken cognizance of the explosion of single parenting, both from coming into the church and the tragedies that happen in the church that leave parents as single parents. So I think it's the latter, to be honest. I don't think it's a deliberate, intentional activity in any way. I think it's just the latter of the circumstances.
Now, how can the church family, my elder, be better equipped then to positively affect single parent families without making it seem like a disease that needs to be cured? Because sometimes it
Oh,
may.
what a statement, a disease that needs to be cured. At one time we thought singleness was a disease that needed to be cured because they need to get married, but it's okay to be single, right? And I think in the same way, with parents who are single parenting, and that's fathers and that's mothers and that's a grandparent, that's I do think it's a conversation that needs to start that allows single parents to voice what they're experiencing, what they're going through, so that we can formulate the type of interventions that assist them. Because we can't assist if we don't know what they're
True,
experiencing.
true.
And because they don't generally have a voice, neither feel that they can voice their circumstances or their struggles. The church, therefore, would not be in a position to rightly put together the type of sustainable programs to assist them along the way. So I do think it starts with allowing single parents to surface their pain points. And I think we can work from there.
Now, in your assessment, I mean, you have been looking at this subject for a while, and you've studied the patterns, etc., especially within the church. Do you have a sense that, and I've heard people talking about this, that perhaps married women would have some kind of a very subtle discomfort with the single women in the church? You know, the thing of, our men, you know, just because they're here. And of course, children would need to have at least some kind of a father figure. So, when a church, the men at church would have to talk to the little people, you know, to guide them, et cetera. And it sounds that it may be making some married women uncomfortable. Do you think that there's space to actually educate the people? Or is it the case at all, actually?
I think there's an education, there's a re-education. I think there's some unlearning and relearning that needs to take place. And of course, you know, we're talking about human frailty, and we're dealing with a church that is full of diverse people with different experiences, circumstances, and those experiences and circumstances, even in the church, put certain individuals on red alert because of their experiences or what they've heard. And I think that it is through education, by understanding that the need is not about creating opportunities that pose threats, but means by which we can assist without creating conditions that would lead to threats occurring within the minds of those who would potentially feel threatened. You know, and I think part of it, you know, when I look at it, you know, when we talk about like the parent who is trying to, for instance, find ways to create space just to, for them to be able to think for an afternoon. And I know some who will then say, bring your children here, take the afternoon off.
Yeah.
So you can, you know, I've seen that happen with, and it's been so good because it is a strong family that is able to do that because they know and understand the value that it brings to that single parent who is in need and help. Does that make sense? As a simple example. So it takes a strong family to allow that to happen, because obviously if within a context of a marriage, the marriage is not strong, and secondly, it is got its own challenges. It's not a useful space. But for those marriages and relationships that are strong, for my wife and I, it has not been an issue to help where we can a single parent in different ways that alleviates and lets them know that they're not invisible, but they're not seen, and they are actually seen. Because I think for the biggest challenge for many single, you know, parents is that they both feel invisible. And secondly, they don't feel that anyone would care about their circumstances. And oftentimes they're judged without anybody really knowing the circumstances that brought them to that specific place where they're a single parent.
Interesting. Now, as we close off the conversation, very short time, big topic. I just need to check. Now, we're talking about single parents. And you've dealt with the single parents and you've tried to look at it, et cetera, et cetera. But I want to look at the people that are being parented by the singles and see if there's any work that needs to be done in that space. Are you in your ministry or do you have any collaborations that you have in place to not only deal with single parents, but those who are parented by the singles?
So I just want to make sure I'm hearing you correctly. You're talking about the children of the single parent.
Yes.
Right. Now, obviously, for Paulette and I, you know, We can't be all things to all people. Our
True.
focus really is on marriage, and then obviously we've broadened it to the family.
Right.
So we don't really have any collaborations right at this moment in time. But obviously we used to do a lot of work in the past with singles. And one of the reasons we do a lot of work with singles is because we understood that obviously them beginning to understand so they can become whole from a broken space. Now, it is not to su suggest that a child coming from a single home is broken
True,
because
true.
we're all broken because of sin. Let's get that right. But they have maybe a little bit more challenges when it comes to getting into relationships because of what happened that caused them to be parented at a single level. And we look at that. If you study attachment theory, you have lost parts and unmet needs. And that follows through into how they then relate in relationships and potentially can create unintended consequences as a result of that. And so sometimes when we're counseling, we help singles, or when we're doing single workshops, we help them to wrestle with what some of their unmet parts and lost and unmet needs and lost parts are, so that they can understand the work that Christ does in enabling them to become whole in spite of their circumstances, which I think is really, really important as they're stepping into relationships, because there's a challenge for many single people who then go on to get married. There's a lot that they struggle with, and I'm making a generalization. It's not for everybody.
True.
Right, so it's a high generalization, but they can struggle in different ways simply because they grew up in a single space, and as a result of that, didn't either see a father figure or didn't see a mother figure or had their grandparents, and now they're stepping into a relationship of connectedness, and it's a different world for them in different ways. And Paulus and I have watched this over the decades when we've counseled young people and marriage, people who are thinking of getting married, and how it's affected them before they step into the marriage space.
Yeah, no, true, true. My elder, I do not have the time. I mean, I wish we could actually explore much more topics
No
because
problem.
you normally would have dealt with this, as you say, for quite a long time. But I must appreciate
Yes.
the time that you spent with us here on AWR. Blessings to you and greetings to your wife.
Thank you. And to the listeners, and thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.